Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The Radio Vet with Dr. Kelly on the air again, or on your podcast player, however you're choosing to listen to us. We're just glad you're listening, and we're glad to have Dr. Kelly back.
Thank you.
All right. What are we talking about today?
Let's talk about our poor, bored indoor cats.
You know, we have Netflix. What's the problem?
I know. Yeah, you're right.
You know, just... I suppose I better get Amazon, too. Netflix might not be enough for our girl.
Generally, veterinarians strongly recommend a strictly 100% indoor lifestyle for pet cats. In other words, cats who aren't required to have a job controlling vermin on the farm, in the barn, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Fill out W-2s, all that
kind
of thing.
Yeah, but this obviously really keeps their world small. And
they're shut-ins, basically.
Yeah, they're shut-ins, forced to be shut-ins, and they aren't on social media. So no.
I was going to get my girl a Facebook account, but you know, we'll see.
And it also prevents some of their normal behaviors, and that can cause stress. Cats who are 100% indoor are more likely to be stressed and anxious.
Really?
Yes, really.
See, if I was 100% indoor, you know, and didn't have to go to a job, I think I'd be quite the opposite myself.
I don't know. If you never got to lay in the sun.
I have a lot of books at
home. Or, you know, do normal outdoor things that people are supposed to do, like take a walk in the sun.
There are so many.
It might affect you in a surprising way.
You might be right. Yeah. You might be right. Okay, I will concede.
So cats who are outdoors, or who are indoor-outdoor, we call them, who are allowed to roam, you know, go outdoors, spend some time out there, and then come back in. Those cats are, of course, at risk for some deadly viruses that are carried by lots of stray cats.
Sure.
They are at risk for being hit by a car.
Indeed.
They are at risk for trauma.
Yeah.
You know, getting into a fight with another cat, with a raccoon, with a coyote,
with a dog,
depending on where you live.
So you almost have to weigh the lesser of two evils type of thing, don't you?
Okay. You're right. And so, you know, being responsible veterinarians, we recommend indoor lifestyle.
And we appreciate that,
or,
actually.
Or, you know, at least it's our job to tell you all the horrible things that we see and can happen if you do let your cat outside.
Absolutely.
And then make sure it's an informed decision.
What is the average of indoor to outdoor cats that you
good
see?
Good question. Thank it you. Has changed greatly with time, because once upon a time, all cats were outdoor.
Yeah, let the cat out was like almost a, you yeah. know, it's like a phrase, you know,
and
it's vernacular.
Still to this day, my oldest clients, my, you know, retirement age and beyond clients, when I say, do you have an, is your cat an indoor cat? To them, that means a cat that's allowed indoors sometimes.
Right, right.
So
different era.
Yeah,
different
and that's times. Not what I mean when times I say that, changing. But I have to be aware of that.
I have a coworker who, her cat, George, who needs to be dewormed four times a
yes,
year.
Yes, because he goes outside.
And he is an executioner, by the way. He is yes. a panther. Holy cow. He'll just like, I brought you yeah. a rabbit head. Yay.
Yeah, hooray. Thank you, George.
Yeah. So, but she you know, she knows that we have this Siamese cat, and she is all indoor, and she thinks that's just so cruel. She's like, the cruelty of that. And
some cats have zero interest in going outside.
Ours is one of them.
Yeah. You hold the door open, yep. and they run the other way, yep. and that's great.
That's what
we got. Because you're not battling, yeah. you know, the cat that wants to get out constantly.
Right, right.
Yeah. But... what can we do to help our cats that are forced to be 100% indoors and the ones who want to anyway, just to keep right. life interesting and exciting?
Sure,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So we can try and feed them in a way that's more natural. So oh. rather than giving them everything they need in a bowl
yeah.
and saying, here you go, we can make them hunt for their food. And so a cat who is either not a pet or who goes outside, they spend a significant portion of their day hunting.
How do I make ProPlan animated? I don't know, that wet, sticky stuff. I don't want to throw it around the house.
Look, and it's not the same, but there are various things you can do. You can take the, you know, the cheapest way is just to divide the morning meal dry food up into, say, 4 or 5 piles and hide them in different places around the house while your cat is sure. not looking.
Right, right.
And make them say, okay, you're hungry, go find it. I'm leaving for work. Bye.
This is kind of a life choice, lifestyle choice for us too. You
yeah,
know,
so to, obviously yeah. it's not the same. The food isn't going to run away, squeak,
right?
make it do anything interesting.
Beg for mercy.
But
you know?
What it does is it mimics a little bit of hunting behavior and it occupies some time. That's really what it does.
They
it
got 24 hours to kill, don't
time.
They?
Yeah. Putting their food yeah. in a bowl and leaving it in the same place all the time doesn't occupy any of their time.
Boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are other, besides hiding it on your own, there are treat balls and other food puzzles that sure. are out there available for purchase that cats can learn how to get one piece at a time to fall out.
Yeah, like a kitty Kong.
Yeah, and it takes yeah. them a while to, you know, eat, which is normal because a wild cat or a cat who spends most of its time outside, they don't eat too fairly big meals a day. They eat 10 to 12 tiny meals per day.
Sure.
That's their natural
right.
form of feeding their right. grazers. And so eating, you know, a quarter cup of dry food within 5 minutes, really not how they're meant to be.
Sure, sure.
So there is one really, I thought, really kind of advanced system that takes this to the extreme where there's 6 stuffed animal mice with hollow bellies
oh.
that you put their food into and then hide in different places again around the house for them to discover, yeah. open up, and eat from.
Eviscerate. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Doing what they do naturally.
Yeah. Huh. Let's see. Other things you can do. Increase vertical space. If you have multiple cats, this is actually really important because indoor cats do have territories. You may not be able necessarily to tell whose is where.
Yeah.
Because they may overlap or they may, you know, allow each other on them because, they, of course, they'll, you know, lay together, groom each other
sure.
if they get along well. But yeah. When you have multiple cats, it is especially important to have a lot of vertical space for cats because okay. it really increases the territory that's available and decreases negative interactions
yeah.
or, you know, bad relationships
sure
between
thing.
Cats.
Yeah.
But even a single cat will benefit from having more vertical territory.
Yeah.
You may have noticed that when a cat gets really scared, they go up.
Up, right. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. In the vet clinic, we relearn this the hard way. A lot of times when we're carrying a cat in our arms back to the treatment area and they get suddenly scared and then they're on your head.
Right, yes. And you have geysers of blood pouring off your
exactly. If their rear claws have lacerated your lip on the way up.
Oh.
It's not pretty.
Been down that road. Holy cow, man.
So yeah. How can you increase vertical space? Well, there's obvious things like cat trees,
right?
Which can be fairly pricey.
Not if you find them on the side of the road like we have.
Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful thing. The free ones are good. They may need a little touching up, maybe a little carpet replacement, new Cecil rope, you know, who knows.
We're in Cedarburg. We get the best ones on the side of the road.
I've found good deals on Overstock, personally.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Just in my own home. There are simple cat shelves that you can... Sure. Make kind of staggered or diagonally going up a wall where they can, get to a high perch very easily. They love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nice things that people are making, which you can buy on Etsy.
Yeah.
Same thing, making them out of all different kinds of
stuff.
We
just purchased a kitty hammock with suction cups that attaches to our window.
Yes.
And I thought, this is
window perches are lovely because they can easily be moved.
Yes.
And changing things.
Oh, okay.
Helps too, because if you think, okay, we've got all this great vertical territory. 5 years later, it's all the exact same great vertical territory. They could be really excited by changing things. So I have a cat tree.
There you go.
It's by one of my back windows. One day, just to help with space, I literally turned it 90 degrees, and it was like a whole new world for the cats.
Happy day. my outlook is totally different now in life.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
That's great.
So along with those window perches, you can also have some outdoor entertainment that's visible from them.
Aha.
Yeah, so you can put bird feeders.
Oh, perfect.
Outside the right windows.
Absolutely.
And they will get to see squirrels.
Yes.
And birds.
They,
and whoever else shows up.
Without a doubt. Absolutely.
Yes, and right, when it's getting cold, I see rabbits under my bird feeders and the cats get all excited about that.
So. I know why they're excited.
Yeah.
They want to murder them.
Well, any little thing hopping across the ground is very exciting to a predator.
It's true.
Now, indoor cats and even declawed cats still engage in scratching behavior.
Sure.
Yeah. And so having available space for them to scratch that's appropriate if they have claws. And, if they don't have claws, oh, well, they'll pick their own space. And
right.
It won't matter.
Yeah.
But some cats really need vertical surfaces to scratch. And
sure.
Others prefer horizontal.
Yep.
Many will use both.
Yeah, mine likes both.
Yeah. Yeah, I think mine do too. And they often scratch shortly after getting up from their favorite resting place. So having it near a favorite bed, where the cats see as a bed anyway, as well as making sure it's visible. Scratching posts that are put away somewhere where the company won't, people coming over won't see them, probably aren't going to be popular for the cats because nobody sees them.
Right.
One of the reasons that cats scratch is to leave a visible mark for territorial display, not just all about, it's not just all about their claws.
Right.
Yeah.
Like scratching an itch.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you, for example, go to a farm that has barn cats and you walk into the barn, it's often the post, the support post that is closest to the door that's all scratched up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because they want you to see it. Yeah.
Just so you know.
Just so you know, we live here and this is taken.
You're a guest.
Yes.
I think with cats, though, we're always guests. It doesn't matter. They own everything.
Well,
it seems to be their
outlook. It's more
like
we're staff. That's what people like to say.
It's even worse.
Right?
We've been demoted from guests to staff.
Dogs have owners. Cats have staff.
Oh,
it's a saying.
It's true. Yeah. It's very true. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Yeah, they're amazing animals. They're truly, we're so happy. One thing that's helped our kitty cat, I think, stave off boredom and probably will for the rest of her life is having her two dogs, because they are her two dogs, obviously.
Yes.
And we just added that Maltipoo this year. And she loves to bark at and chase Shusha, our Siamese. But she's not chasing and she's not running out of fear. I could tell. She's doing it because she likes to be baited and she's enjoying every minute of it.
Oh, and she probably teases the dog into doing it sometimes.
1,000%.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because she can go high, like you said, all that vertical. So,
yes.
And that's immediately what she does. She's just, you can get me. Oh, I'm in such terrible trouble.
But now I'm
trouble.
Up here.
Now I'm up here and you're not.
Bop you on the head.
Exactamundo. That is exactly how she functions. So she's loving that. I mean, she really, I think day one she saw her as a nuisance, but just by day two she's like, oh, you're just a big toy.
It's a good thing she didn't see her as, a little wiggling thing going across the floor.
Right, right. As prey, absolutely. She certainly could. That's a tiny dog. But yeah, it's fun. And she seems to love it when she barks at her. She just a little yap at her because she can't get to where she's going. So she's expressing her annoyance, I think. Mm-hmm. Right. And she just like, drinks that up. She's like, I drink your tears of
frustration. Absolutely.
Very clever, that one. Very, very.
You can see the cat's battery recharging when that happens.
That's exactly right. Very clever. We got to take a break and we'll come back and talk about bored cats. If you're a bored cat, I hope you're tuning in. You can take some notes. Podcast listening cats. You've made an appointment with the Radio Vet, and we're glad you did. You're on CPL Radio, and we're talking today about cats that might not be terribly engaged with their life.
Cats that sleep too much, yes, don't do anything.
Absolutely. Which they like, too, by the way. They do like that meditative time, and but they got to mix that up a little bit. And, you know, Dr. Kelly's here to help. So what else can we do for our bored kitty cats?
Well, just like with young kids, having different groups of toys and rotating them into in and out of availability can really help. You know, if you have, say, a two-year-old who has a favorite toy or a couple of favorite toys, but then one maybe starts getting played with less and that one disappears for a month or two and then reappears. Oh, it's great again. It's so much more interesting than it was getting to be the last time they saw it. So that's true with cats and, well, dogs too. One other issue for indoor cats that can help make them very happy is to make sure they have the perfect bathroom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Outdoor cats get to choose their own bathroom.
Ah, yes.
And they can search for their perfect bathroom if they want to.
Very true.
Indoor cats, well, if you don't give them a really good bathroom, they'll choose a different one, won't like.
2x2 box. Have fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so a really big cat can need a really big box.
Sure, sure. Or more than one, perhaps.
So the perfect, according to the behaviorists who, you know, really study animal behavior and maybe even focus more on cats, the perfect number of litter boxes to have is the same number as you have cats plus one.
Sure.
So a three-cat home should have 4 boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And they should not all be close together.
Right,
they should not all be on the same level of the home if there's a multi-level home.
Be able to travel a little bit. So
Part of the reason for that is that elderly cats should never have to go very far to find one. Yeah. You know, they don't move as fast and maybe they don't go down the stairs anymore.
Sure, sure.
But even more importantly, when you have a multi-cat household, there does tend to be a most assertive or quote unquote dominant cat. Mm. They can choose to guard the limited resources.
Oh, sure,
including
sure.
Where you go to the bathroom. Yeah. So if all the boxes are lined up next to each other in the basement, or they're just all on the same level and it's the basement, the dominant cat can guard the stairs.
Oh, boy.
Just with their body language, and the other cats can't get to them all the time when they need to.
Oh, sure.
So having them dispersed around the home, makes it impossible for the dominant cat to say, well, this is all mine. Go find your own.
Dialing back to the refreshing of toys, we should recommend the fact that there's these great services now that you can subscribe to, and every 2 months or every month,
you
get a new toy in the mail. And so, I mean, we did that for our dogs for a while, and we not now, but we should get back on that again because they love that. When it was mail day and they had a box and you kind of get them all worked up and this box is for you,
this
and
we're
opening
yours.
It up and then you toss the toy. It was like Christmas every day, once a month for these guys.
Exactly.
So same with cats. Freshen up the toy stock.
Freshen up the toys, exactly. So how do you make the perfect bathroom for your cat? So
there we go.
There, you want to place a location that is not really high traffic, noisy, busy. So a lot of people, again, have a litter box downstairs in the basement, and usually that's also where the washer and dryer are. Having a litter box too close to a washing machine that suddenly drops into the spin cycle while they're using the box can be a real deterrent for more timid cats.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so you want it to be somewhere that's relatively quiet and undisturbed.
Yeah, yeah.
Oppositely, for some people's thinking from that, cats tend not to like covered boxes.
Oh, we have two of them.
We don't want to be seen while we're going to the bathroom.
We try
cats
very hard
don't necessarily want to be seen, but they want to be able to see. Going to the bathroom for a cat is a vulnerable activity. They're in a vulnerable situation. They've put themselves in a vulnerable position.
As are we all.
And they want to be able to see who's sneaking up on them.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I see.
So it's an instinct. Even if they're the only cat in the household, they don't want to feel like I can't see who's coming up behind me.
Interesting.
While they're going to the bathroom. So a lot of cats will not use a hooded box.
Huh.
So we try to tell people, think of a hooded box versus an open box as the same thing as the difference between a porta potty, the plastic chamber,
never fun,
and a bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay?
Never fun.
The porta potty is claustrophobic. It's hot if it's in the sun.
I haven't used one since 2001, I think.
Oh, I think they've gotten a lot better.
Oh, yeah, they have improved. They have indeed.
Oh,
well,
better.
That's good to know, as is my operative out in the field reporting
but
back to me.
If you think of a hooded box as being like one of those porta potties versus a real the bathroom in your home.
Absolutely.
That's kind of what it's like.
I'm going to go home and remove that hood tonight. She seems to be fine with it.
There are many who are fine with it. Yeah. And if she's the only cat, maybe make a big difference for
maybe,
her.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Or that's just what she's always known from as long as she can remember.
True.
Fine too.
Okay.
If your cat uses it, your cat uses it.
Right.
You don't have to change what's working.
Yeah. We have a weird one at home too that's like this strange oval shape, and she actually has to jump into it, so with her head sticking.
That's not so great.
I didn't think so either, but my wife was like, oh, she'll, and to her credit, she uses it. She does.
What is great about it is that cats who are real litter flingers fling less litter out
indeed
when there are high sides on all sides.
Sure.
I recommend high-sided boxes that are only high on, two or three sides.
Okay,
where they can step in and out of a low side, because when those cats get older, they're not going to want to jump over that wall to get into the bathroom. Plus, cats are such neat, clean, fastidious creatures naturally.
They are indeed.
That if they ever jump over and into that box and land on
something prior
that upsets them, they might never use that box again.
Wow, that's not her only box, but and she uses it very seldom because she doesn't go downstairs that much. We keep the door closed most of the time, but she does use it on occasion. It mixes it up for her, I figure.
One of my teachers in veterinary school, one of my professors, said cats should never have to leap into the unknown to go to the bathroom.
I can see that.
Yeah.
That makes, there's wisdom there.
Yeah. And then how else do you make them happy? You scoop it once a day, every day.
Absolutely.
Once a day. Scooping it once a week is a much bigger job and takes a lot longer and it's gross. Scooping it once a day,
no big deal.
Very brief.
Yeah.
You're not doing any more work. You're just dividing it up better, and you're done in no time. It's not nearly as gross as scooping it once a week.
Unfortunately, I have my one of my daughters is on that job, and she is like any daughter, forgetful. So she's actually going out of town today. So when I get home, I figure I know what I'm going to do, and
And you may have noticed, many people have noticed that when they either clean the box, dump it all out, wash it, fill
they're
it with
so
new
happy
litter. Oh my gosh, are the cat's happy.
It's the most wonderful
that
thing.
That really makes their day.
It does.
The longer your cat spends scratching in the box and digging the perfect hole, the happier they are about how that box is.
Nice.
If they jump in the box, dig for 2 seconds, go and get the heck out of there, they don't really like the box.
They're not thrilled.
They're not thrilled. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. You've inspired me. I'm going to go redouble our efforts.
The last details, unscented, clumping litter, approximately 1.5 to 2 inches deep, they've discovered is ideal.
Okay, very good.
And many of them don't like the liners, those plastic bag litter box liners. Yeah, they don't like that.
Yeah, we used to use those,
And again, if it's working for you, it's working for you.
Yeah.
Cats,
you're so complex.
So some of my favorite toys that I've come across, there's the old standby, the plastic milk jug rings, which are so popular in many homes.
Wow. Yeah, they will make their own toys. That is true. Absolutely.
Yeah. Empty cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
Paper bags.
Oh, well, that's just hours of fun.
A pizza box that you tape closed cut holes in and either put treats in or little, you know, balls for them to bat around. Cat grass you can grow indoors.
Oh, nice.
And then there are actual, like, perpetual motion toys that move a thing for you and the cat can interact with. There's something called a firefly mat where it's kind of a crinkly mat, but there's little tiny lights inside, and one light will blink and they'll jump on it, and then somewhere else another light will blink and they'll jump on it.
Well, let's not forget about the laser pointer if you're talking about lights.
Exactly.
Although that's more entertainment for us perhaps than them, but nonetheless.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Having a good time.
One other laser toy that you don't have to hold in your own hand is called Bada Beam.
Hey, what's this one all about?
my cat, that's a favorite at my house where it's a little pyramid shaped thing, and you open the top and there's a mirror and a laser, and you point it at the wall.
Okay.
And it moves randomly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like your wall could...
And you could point at the floor or the wall.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. And there's something I haven't tried, but I always thought looked great. It's called Fling-em-a String. It hangs from the door, and it does what it says. It flings a string for your cat.
Truth in advertising is wonderful.
I've read, though, like some cats love it and it lasts, and other cats destroy it immediately. So, you know, there's some risk there.
Now this is, of course, you know, broadcast on the Family Hour, but you haven't brought up yet what we like to call around our house cat marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the one.
Yeah. So cats seem to develop receptors for catnip, if they're going to, after 10 months of age. So young kittens really won't have any reaction to it other than like, wow, what's this stuff? Yuck. And not all cats get the receptors. So some cats never have any effect.
Ours did.
Yeah. Most cats seem to.
Oof.
Yeah. Most cats seem to. So some people will keep the cat toys in a basket or a container that has loose catnip in it, and they'll shake it up and kind of, you know, scent the toys.
Coat it.
And there are toys that have catnip inside.
Absolutely.
And there's catnip bubbles that you can blow for your cat, which
my.
I don't know if those really work because my cat's never thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't find that interesting.
Didn't seem to work.
Well, I keep the catnip in my nightstand drawer, mm-hmm. and no matter where she is in the house, if she hears my nightstand drawer open, she's there. She just appears. It's sort of like Star Trek. She's beamed in. And the other day, someone foolishly, possibly me, left the drawer open a little bit. And so she cranked the rest open. When we came home, she was covered head to toe in catnip.
Oh, she had a
and
great
she was
day.
So happy.
She
was
great
just,
day.
She's a little nuts. you know, but yeah, it does. It makes her really loving. I mean, she just really digs her humans when she's coated in catnip. So, it was 420 day for her, let me tell you.
And finally, there are some ways to safely have your cat go outside.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm too much of a nervous. I don't know. I don't know if I could do it.
And I will say, people might be thinking, oh yeah, I want to take my cat outside, so I'll get a harness. And some cats will be okay with that, but it's a fairly small percentage.
Yeah.
As many people know, once you put anything that feels like clothing on a cat, they go stiff and fall over and refuse to move. And there is actually a professional term for that because it is so consistent.
Passive aggression?
No. It's called pseudoparalysis.
Same thing.
If you put a shirt on a cat, they develop pseudoparalysis.
Oh, I like that. I'm using that today at work. They ask me to do something I don't want to do.
So consistent.
That's great.
But at any rate, yes, putting them on a harness can be dangerous, even if you're attached to a leash attached to the harness.
There's someone in my neighborhood who has taken their cat for a walk on a leash, and it's funny. And when we come by, I just say, how's that working for you? And then they'll always say, it's okay.
So the cat is being dragged down the sidewalk.
Keep the faith, sister.
It's often not great. You're right.
Neither we're having a great day. Let's put it that way. I don't think so. Yeah.
So there is something called the perfect fence, which can be a fence in and of itself, or it can be an attachment onto a wooden fence that's solid or some other kind of solid fence that makes it impossible for the cat to climb out because not only is it high enough, but it kind of rebound, you know, I don't know, kind of curves in.
Sure, sure.
So that, you know, the cat has to basically go upside down in order to climb out and over. So
Trump is trying this at the border, right?
Maybe. There's a company called Habitat Haven that makes catios, which are outdoor enclosures for cats. And there are so many different sizes and types. And there's one that's a very simple box that just attaches to a window that you can open all the way.
Okay.
So those are more, you know, probably three season in this area.
Right. Absolutely.
But that's a way, nonetheless, that cats who really do want to go outside and, you know, don't live somewhere where that's safe can still go outside.
Yeah.
But obviously every cat's going to react differently. So, may, you know, find a way to slash through it. I don't know. Hopefully it's cat proof.
They are good. They're very clever. Interesting. Yes. Well, that's great. That's a lot of information. I mean, it actually has already made me rethink a few things for my kitty at home. We don't want them bored.
Yeah. You know, we don't want them bored.
I mean, what kind of life is that, I guess?
Yeah,
if you're
exactly.
Just kind of like when you ask your cat, you know, how's life going? They'll say taking forever.
Well, and that really is why there are strong feelings on both sides.
Yeah.
People who are like, cats should never go outside.
Right.
How can you do that? It's so dangerous. They're going to, you know, have a shorter life. And other people who see the joy that their cats get from going outside and say the same thing. How can you not do that? They enjoy it so much, it's worth the risk.
It's worth the risk. I suppose there you go. It's worth the risk.
Yeah, that's, as you know, and my take as a veterinarian is if you are making a fully informed decision, it's your cat.
Yes. Ultimately, in the end of the day, although don't tell your cat that.
Right. Your cat will never make a fully informed decision.
Nor should they. It's asking way too much of our feline friends. So, well, a wonderful show as always. Thank you so much for all the good information.
You.
And we'll see you next week on the radio. Actually, we won't. Thanksgiving. We'll see you in 2 weeks. All right, rerun next week, folks.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.